上海顶尖人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口译资格证书实考试卷汇编。上海市外语口译资格证书考试委员会编。试卷六，上海市英语高级口译资格证书第一阶段考试。
Section 1, Listening Test. Part A, Spot Dictation.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear a passage and read the same passage with blanks in it. Fill in each of the blanks with a word or words you have heard on the tape. Write your answer in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Remember, you will hear the passage only once. Now let's begin Part A with Spot Dictation. If I could just take this opportunity to briefly summarize the company's attitude to the question of providing information for our employees. We know that the majority of employees would like more opportunity to let the company know how they feel on things that affect them. And certainly, from the surveys that we've done, they seem to emphasize the value of two-way communication. Especially at a time of change and uncertainty within the company and in the outside world. Anyway, action has been set in motion to increase face-to-face communication between managers and staff, and to improve the flow of upward communication. You also know how much we value consultation with our workforce. And so we continue to provide training facilities to enable employees who are elected to consultative committees to perform effectively in their new role. Now, when it comes to informing the workforce, employees, we believe, have a right to know the basic facts about the company, whether or not the information makes them more efficient. And information program makes this possible. Well, let me just give you one example. Supervisors, for instance, may need informing about new products before they go into production. And supervisors should also be given some outline about a company's profit and marketing objectives and about its performance related to its competitors. At the same time, of course, we are naturally aware of the problems of giving too much information on future product plans. The competition may get to hear about it too soon. But in the end, we shouldn't ignore the fact that even if management does not communicate with supervisors, that they, and even the workers themselves, will know a great deal about what is going on, even if they haven't been told formally.
Part B, Listening Comprehension.
Directions. In this part of the test, there will be some short talks and conversations. After each one, you will be asked some questions. The talks, conversations, and questions will be spoken only once. Now listen carefully and choose the right answer to each question you have heard and write the letter of the answer you have chosen in a corresponding space in your answer booklet. Now let's begin Part D with Listening Comprehension.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the following conversation. Hello, DeRosa speaking.
Hello, Ms. Rosa. This is Jesper Olsen from Dansk Elektrik in Copenhagen.
How are you, Mr. Olsen? What can I do for you?
I'm afraid it's a problem about your deliveries. The last delivery you made was more than 3 weeks late. We've had a lot of complaints from our retailers about this.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did you receive notification from our sales department that the delivery was going to be late?
No, we didn't. What's the problem?
Really, it's a result of our success. Demand for our radios has been so great that production just can't keep up with it.
I see. So can we expect such delays with future orders for your radio products?
Yes, at least for the next 6 months. We're having a new factory equipped at the moment, and it should start producing then.
There's no way you can increase production until then?
We've taken on some extra workers, but it won't make much difference. It's just a question of production capacity given the present size of our factory.
Yes, I can see your problem. I'll just have to warn our retailers about that.
I'm very sorry our sales department didn't contact you about the problem. I'll get on to them about this. Because of the problems this has caused you, I would like to offer you a 10% discount on this and future orders until our new factory opens.
That's very reasonable of you, Ms. Rosa, as this will mean a bigger profit margin for our retailers. I'm sure they'll be much happier about the situation.
I'm glad to hear that. I'll confirm these details to you in a letter. Is there anything else I can do for you at the moment?
No, that's fine. I'll inform our retailers about the situation, and thanks very much for your help.
Not at all. I'm sorry about the problem, but as I say, things should be considerably better soon.
Right. Well, goodbye for now.
Goodbye, Mr. Olsen. Thank you for your call.
Question number one. What does Mr. Olsen complain about?
Question number two. What has caused the problem?
Question number three. Which product does the company turn out?
Question number four. What is the company doing to solve the problem?
Question number five. Which of the following statements is not true, according to the dialogue? Questions 6 to 10 are based on the following news.
Manila. Philippine inflation eased in April as a bumper harvest stabilized food costs and interest rates fell, but could edge up again due to rising fuel and beer prices, officials and analysts said yesterday. The inflation rate, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, fell to 8.0% year-on-year in April from 8.7% in March, government data showed. The decline was credited to a bumper harvest and the easing of interest rates, which reduced production costs and resulted in stable commodity prices. Food items account for 55% of the index. Interest rates for the benchmark 91-day Treasury bills declined from 13.459% in January to 10.051% this week. However, analysts said an impending increase in power rates by the state-run National Power Corporation, a recent uptick in retail gasoline prices, could push inflation up in May. Detroit, General Motors, the leading U.S. automaker, on Tuesday reported a 4.2% decline in total vehicle sales to 433,723 in April, compared with the same month in 1998. Car sales fell 4.5% and truck sales 3.9%, the company said in a statement here. Despite the April performance, GM Vice President for North America Sales, Roy Roberts, said, "We're going into the summer season with excellent momentum." Lagos. An outbreak of cholera, measles, and tuberculosis has claimed at least 100 lives in Kano, northern Nigeria, in the past month, hospital sources said in reports yesterday. An outbreak of cholera was first reported early in April when 5 people lost their lives, the independent newspaper The Guardian reported, citing hospital sources. Mansour Mohamedou, a medical officer in charge of the State Infectious Diseases Hospital, said over 1,000 people have been admitted for treatment of the 3 diseases in the past month. In all honesty, the figure is probably above that. More than 100 people have lost their lives in the outbreak, he said. Oklahoma City. Oklahomans spent another grim day yesterday tallying losses from a devastating series of tornadoes which killed at least 43 people in the U.S. heartland. Governor Frank Keating, who spent much of Tuesday surveying ripped and shattered neighborhoods around Oklahoma City, was planning visits to several smaller outlying towns which appeared to have been almost wiped off the map by Monday's furious storms. In Mulhall to the north and Bridge Creek to the east, stunned townsfolk picked their way through the rubble of schools, markets, and houses, looking for anything to salvage. One teacher, surveying what had once been her mathematics classroom, choked back the tears. In Oklahoma City's hard-hit southern suburbs, police and National Guard troops enforced an all-night curfew to prevent possible looting. Sydney. International Olympics Committee member Phil Coles denied yesterday he supplied the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics bid team with secret documents on IOC members, including notes identifying some members as being open to excessive gift-taking or bribes. The documents revealed in reports on Tuesday by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation provided Salt Lake City with a virtual blueprint of Sydney's successful bid for the 2000 Games and included detailed notes written by Coles and his partner about individual IOC members. The continuation of the saga led to new calls yesterday for Coles to resign from the Sydney Organizing Committee for the Olympic Games to prevent it acting as a further deterrent to much-needed new sponsors and from hurting ticket sales, both vital to the Sydney Games budget.
Question number 6. Which of the following statements is true about recent Philippine inflation?
Question number 7. By what percentage did the total vehicle sales decline as reported by General Motors?
Question number 8. How many people have died in a recent outbreak of infectious diseases in Nigeria?
Question number 9. Why was an all-night curfew enforced in Oklahoma City?
Question Question number 10. What did an International Olympics Committee member deny doing?
Questions 11 to 15 are based on the following interview. Mr. Angela, you took over running this firm when it was in a very bad way. Can you tell us what kind of problems you had to deal with?
Basically, the faults were management ones. A clear marketing strategy hadn't been worked out. This meant our various markets were eaten away, particularly by foreign companies. Also, quality control hadn't been maintained. This had lost us sales, particularly to the Japanese. And the other major difficulty we were faced with was the fact that we had no new products coming on the market. So our profits were reduced, while at the same time we weren't prepared for a developing economy.
So what steps were taken to deal with these difficulties?
In relation to marketing, a new strategy has been developed. Whereas before, we aimed to sell our electrical products both in the lower and middle range of the market. Now, our marketing is aimed solely at the middle range. We are not able to compete with cheap foreign imports, so our production and marketing has been concentrated on higher priced, higher profit margin goods. Of course, to compete in this market, good quality is essential. Therefore, improving quality has been stressed very strongly.
What exactly has been done to improve quality?
Firstly, quality control circles were introduced. Meetings of these groups were held at which suggestions were put forward about how to improve quality. As a result of one suggestion, incentive schemes have been introduced whereby staff receive bonuses if certain quality targets are reached. Also, a vastly increased training program has been developed in areas where quality was poor.
You've been in charge of the company for 2 years now, Mr. Angelo. What is the company's present situation?
We've begun to turn the corner. After several years of heavy losses, we hope to break even this year. To do this, we've had to reduce the workforce considerably, but now we can offer greater job security to our remaining staff. We're also hoping to pay a dividend next year if the present improvement continues.
So would you say the future prospects of the company are good?
We are hopeful. A lot remains to be done, of course, but we think that the new products we are developing will greatly improve our prospects. For example, a great deal of interest has already been shown in our satellite TV dish, which has just been placed on the market. I think those investors who continue to support us will be rewarded by a substantial rise in the company's share price in the near future.
Thank you very much for your comments, Mr. Angelo.
You're welcome.
Question number 11. Which of the following is not a problem faced by the company when Mr. Angelo took over?
Question number 12. What measure has been taken in relation to marketing?
Question number 13. Why have incentive schemes been introduced, according to Mr. Angelo?
Question number 14. When did Mr. Angelo take over the management of the firm?
Question number 15. What is expected of the company's situation this year? Questions 16 to 20 are based on the following talk.
The North American continent, consisting of the United States and Canada, covers an area of approximately 7,300,000 square miles. Within this area live about 266 million people, 240 million in the United States, and 25.5 million in Canada. So many people living in such a great area are naturally different in many ways. If you have traveled around North America, or if you have talked with people from different parts of this continent, then surely you have noticed that one of the biggest differences among people is the way they speak English. The most obvious differences are in people's pronunciation, but there are also some differences in grammar and many differences in vocabulary from region to region. In today's lecture, we are going to look at some interesting examples of all three types of differences, beginning with pronunciation, or what you might call accent. Certain accents are easy to recognize because they contain features that are unique to a particular region of the continent. Let me give you three examples. You can almost always recognize English-speaking Canadians because they have a special way of pronouncing the sound that is usually spelled O-U. So while people in the United States say out, about, and around, Canadians pronounce these words out, about, and around. Can you hear the difference? Another accent that is fairly easy to identify is that of New York City. Many New Yorkers pronounce the A sound almost as if it were spelled L. Listen to the difference. Coffee, coffee. Dog, dog. Because he thought. Some New Yorkers also add an R sound to many vowel sounds, such as law and order, pronouncing it law and order. New Yorkers also say idea instead of idea, and Africa instead of Africa. People from Boston, on the other hand, say ant and hat the way British do. But in most other places, people say aunt and half. Bostonians also drop most of their R's. Have you ever heard someone say he was going to Kaatika? This person was probably from the Boston area. Let's go on now to some differences in grammar. Actually, there isn't much variation in grammar from region to region. Some variation in spoken grammar, as in the use of the simple past tense, is acceptable. For example, in some areas, it's normal for people to say, I catched a fish instead of, I caught a fish. But I want to emphasize that we are dealing here with spoken grammar, since, as you know, written English is the same everywhere. It is what we call standard English. Finally, let's talk about some vocabulary differences. These are fun to examine. For example, when you go to the supermarket, what do you carry your groceries home in? In California, your answer would be a paper bag. In the eastern United States, you would call it a paper sack. But in the area of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you would call it a poke. Another example, for dinner, do you like to eat green beans, string beans, or snap beans? They are, in fact, the same thing. But each name is used in different geographical areas. As you can see, in North America, differences in the name of objects are determined by geography and not by social or economic class, as they are in some other countries. I want to say, in conclusion, that I have given you just a handful of examples of regional differences in pronunciation, grammar, and vocabulary in the United States and Canada. There are naturally hundreds of such differences. But in spite of these differences, North Americans do not have much trouble understanding one another, even if they come from places that are as far apart as, say, the northern part of Canada and South Texas. The linguistic differences are simply not great enough to interfere with our ability to communicate with one another.
Question number 16. Which of the following statements best summarizes the lecture?
Question number 17. Which group of people add an R sound to many vowels?
Question number 18. Which of the following statements is true concerning the grammar of English spoken in North America?
Question number 19. What determines vocabulary differences in North American English?
Question number 20. What is meant by standard English according to this lecture? Section 4, Listening Test. Part A, Note-Taking and Gap-Filling.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear a short talk. You will hear the talk only once. While listening to the talk, you may take notes on the important points so that you can have enough information to complete the gap-filling task on a separate answer booklet. You are required to write one word or figure only in each blank. You will not get your answer booklet until after you have listened to the talk. Now listen to the talk carefully.
Let's imagine that an American businessman has to go to Paris on a business trip. On the morning of the trip, he gets into a single-seat car that gets more than 100 per gallon. He drives it into an automated moving traffic lane that takes him directly to a rail port or train station. He leaves his car there and gets on a train that travels at 300 miles per hour. Within a few minutes, he arrives at the airport. He and 1,000 other passengers get on a plane that is made almost entirely of plastic. Computers control the plane, which travels at supersonic speed, so our businessman is in Paris in less than 3 hours. Does this description sound fantastic to you? Well, according to transportation experts, we can expect many changes in transportation technology in the 21st century. All the forms of transportation that we use today will still be popular, but they will be very different in design, materials, and technology. In today's lecture, we're going to look at how these familiar modes of transportation will change in the next 50 to 100 years. Naturally, we will start by talking about the automobile, which will still be the most important method of getting around, just as it is today. But of course, we can expect many improvements. First of all, our cars will become totally electronic. They will routinely talk to us, reminding us to turn up our lights, get gas, or fix something. Of course, every car will have a telephone. In addition, the cars of the future will be smaller and more economical. We will probably continue to use gasoline for fuel at least until the end of the century, but gasoline mileage will probably go up to 75 or 100 miles per gallon. Besides the car, several other well-known methods of transportation will be very important for traveling in cities. First, Many people will use subways or other rapid transit systems, even though they will be expensive. Second, bus service will increase. The new buses will look different from today's and will be able to carry up to 150 people. During rush hours, they will travel in special bus lanes or maybe even on separate roads, especially for buses. Third, for short trips, there will be many people movers. These are sidewalks that move at 10 or 15 miles per hour. In fact, they already exist today in many modern airports. Now, for long-distance traveling between cities, buses will still be the cheapest way, but they will probably be more comfortable than they are today. Imagine a bus with sleeper seats, video games, movies, and even meal service. Buses will change a lot, but trains will change even more. For one thing, they will be extremely fast. Trains of the future will not travel on rails as they do today. Instead, they will move above the tracks, which allow them to go as fast as 250 or 300 miles per hour. With such a train, a trip between Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Chicago, Illinois, would take just half an hour. In the 21st century, people will easily be able to live in one state and work in another. We can conclude that land transportation will be faster and more comfortable than it is today. What about air travel? First, the airplanes of the future will be made of plastic. As a result, they will be quieter, faster, cleaner, and more economical. They will also be larger, carrying up to 1,000 people. Planes will all have computers as pilots, although there will always be a human pilot on the plane in case anything goes wrong. In the passenger area, sleeping arrangements will be more comfortable than they are today. In addition, each passenger will have a private TV set in the back of the seat in front of him. With all these improvements in transportation systems, we can predict that in the 21st century, people will travel more often and farther than they do now. Our world will become a smaller place, and there will probably be much more contact between people from different cultures than there is today. Part B, Listening and Translation. 1. Sentence Translation.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear 5 English sentences. You will hear the sentences only once. After you have heard each sentence, translate it into Chinese and write your version in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. Now let's begin Part B with sentence translation.
Sentence number 1. Could we have a quick word about the sales conference? I'd like to see everything will be okay by the end of this month.
Sentence number 2. Women in China now receive equal pay for equal work, and 90% of all Chinese women work as truck drivers, scientists, and most other traditionally male jobs.
Sentence number 3. Until the 20th century, the majority of blacks lived in the southern part of the United States. Thus, prejudice against blacks is often associated with the South.
Sentence number 4. In 1997, the number of poor whites increased to 11.5%, while 28% of black families were considered poor and received food coupons regularly.
Sentence number 5. People in this age group have to borrow money to pay for houses or apartments, and they also spend a lot of money on furniture and appliances. Two, passage translation.
Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear two English passages. You will hear the passages only once. After you have heard each passage, translate it into Chinese and write your version in the corresponding space in your answer booklet. You may take notes while you are listening. Now let's begin passage translation with the first passage.
Passage one. We Americans are incredibly lazy. Instead of cooking a simple, nourishing meal, we pop a frozen dinner into the oven. Instead of studying a daily newspaper, we are contented with casual summaries on the network news. Worst of all, instead of walking even a few blocks to the local convenience store, we jump into our cars. This dependence on the automobile, even for short trips, has robbed us of the valuable experience of walking. If we drove less and walked more, we would save money, become healthier, and discover fascinating things about our surroundings.
Passage 2. Physical activity is for kids. Adults don't have time to hit a baseball or run around the field. or to do aerobics and lift weights in a gym. They have to earn a living, raise families, and save money for retirement. They can leave exercise to their children. I firmly believed this until one morning, when late for work, I ran after a bus. My heart pounded. My lungs gasped. My head swam. Then I realized I wouldn't be around to do my job, support my family, or enjoy retirement unless I got into the habit of doing something physical to maintain my health. Regular exercise can rejuvenate your body, refresh your mind, and broaden your interests.